"Will we see you again soon in Washington?" asked Miss Fairchild.
"Not soon, I think," said Easton. "My butterfly days are over, I fear."
"I love the West," she said. Her eyes were shining softly. She looked away and out the train window. She began to speak truly and simply, forgetting about style and manner. "Mama and I spent the summer in Denver. She went home a week ago because Father was ill. I could live and be happy in the West. I think the air here agrees with me. Money isn't everything, but people always misunderstand things and remain stupid."
"Say, Mr. Marshall," growled the sad-faced man, "this isn't quite fair. I'm needing a drink and haven't had a smoke all day. Haven't you been talking long enough? Take me into the smoker, won't you? I'm half dead for a pipe."
The bound travelers rose to their feet, Easton with the same slow smile on his face.
"I can't say no to a need for tobacco," he said lightly. "It's the one friend of the unfortunate. Goodbye, Miss Fairchild. Duty calls, you know."
He held out his hand for a farewell. "It's too bad you are not going east," she said, remembering again her manner and style. "But you must go on to Leavenworth, I suppose."
"Yes," said Easton, "I must go on to Leavenworth."
The two men made their way down the aisle into the smoker. The two passengers in a seat nearby heard most of the conversation. Said one of them, "That Marshall is a good sort of chap. Some of these Western fellows are all right."
"Pretty young to hold an office like that, isn't he?" asked the other.
"Young?" exclaimed the first speaker. "Why, oh, didn't you catch on? Say, did you ever know an officer to handcuff a prisoner to his right hand?"